Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you.
Never going to have flying cars is because of September 11th. That's right where you should start the episode.
Thanks, 9/11.
I'm telling you, like, that's why. Like,
yeah, that is where we should start the episode. Hey, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty scary Boo!
Happy 9/11. No, wrong.
Whoa.
It's not 9/11.
No.
It's not
it's
even
not
close.
It's not 9/11.
It's every day's kind of 9/11 to me.
In America, it is.
Yeah, these days it is.
Yep.
Oh, political commentary
these
on a Saturday morning.
Days. You know, in college, I had a theory that every girl with a liberal arts degree had a Nico impression.
Yeah, I would think so.
I've been out walking. I don't do too much talking these days.
Mine's really good.
That is pretty good, yeah.
So I think I only thought of that so I could just do my Nico impression.
Yeah, yeah. Carrie, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking.
You're drinking some wine?
I am.
Yeah.
It's.
I said that kind of shamefully, like we're not all drinking at 11 a.m.
It's fine. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm great.
I'm not pregnant anymore, so.
Drink?
I am,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm still pregnant.
Well, at 9 this morning, I was like, I'm not going to drink. And then at 10, as I was throwing the sweatpants that I had on last night back on, I was like, well, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea to drink.
There you go.
And then I grabbed two bottles of wine, and here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, me and Carrie had a late night recording an Unpops episode last night.
It really wasn't that late. Like,
it wasn't
around
late.
10.
I love
Brett, by the way, turned into a pumpkin right at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
I do now. I definitely do now. 10 p.m., I start speaking in, like, all vowels. I don't know what's going on after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, Brett just, like...
shut down.
Disappeared into a poof of air at 10 p.m. and was gone.
Brett and I should do, like, we should record after 10 and see what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
I mean, Adam and I were, I don't know, riffing about canned air or whatever it was. And all of a sudden I look over and he's like staring, but like not making like there was a disconnect there. And then all of a sudden he's like, so we're wrapping it up, right? And I was like, oh, I guess so. It was very abrupt.
You do that to me sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, the glazed over.
You'll just be like, so that was what we watched. Anyway, thank you. Here's some fan mail. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Seamless transition, though.
Yeah.
Right?
It usually is.
It usually goes really
podcasting
well.
Podcasting gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So happy Valentine's Day. That's the day this is going up. It's a day for lovers.
All right, question. Are you guys both like, boo, Valentine's Day? Are you neutral or are you super pro? How do we all stand on Valentine's Day?
I'm kind of neutral on it. I never go out on Valentine's Day because that's, why would you?
You're also probably not a person that waits in line for brunch, right?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I don't like to wait in line for anything.
Especially when you're hungry. I never understood that.
Or like Father's Day. Like, why go to a restaurant?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, why celebrate that, asshole?
Well, it's kind of like, because it's like the chain ones, like Mimi's Cafe. Like, there's always a line.
Oh, forget
and it's
it.
Like,
yeah.
Can't you just eat at home?
Yeah, I think.
Like, I like doing stuff the day after. That's when I did all my Christmas shopping, December 26th. And stuff is on sale.
Yeah.
New Year's Day is Carrie's jam. New Year's Eve, Carrie couldn't care less. New Year's Day.
No, I go to bed early.
Look
so
out,
I can
world.
Wake up.
Yeah.
And then it's like Christmas
She's
for me.
She's setting the world on fire.
Because no one's out. Everyone's hungover.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like I've got whatever bar I want pretty much to myself.
That's always a dream. Carrie,
but who doesn't want to celebrate New Year's Day alone?
I think everybody does on some level. Carrie, pro-Valentine's Day, neutral? What do you care? Do you care?
I don't care. I mean, again, I'm usually single, so it doesn't really affect me. I mean, I'm not that passionate about anything in life.
Sure,
so
I
don't feel
I know that about you. Yeah.
Passionately one way or the other about Valentine's Day. But I will say this. Wait, it's Valentine's Day? Oh, I'm actually in Vegas.
Now?
Right,
you're
yeah.
You're from the future. She did it again. God.
Time traveling Carrie.
I don't really care about Valentine's Day either. Here's the funny thing. My sister-in-law's birthday is Valentine's Day. So for the last 8 years, we have been celebrating with the family on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Because my husband's side of the family is big on, we celebrate on the day, which is weird for me.
Do you guys go to restaurants?
Yeah.
No, it's always
at really don't like crowds.
No, it's at the house. We don't
I hate
do that.
Crowds.
I don't like crowds either. But it's just weird. The reason why I bring this up.
You feel like it's not your holiday anymore, even if you wanted it to be?
We had our first Valentine's Day last year, and I think that's when we got pregnant. I'm not
gross.
Kidding.
Yeah, ew, sex reference.
Nope. He tried to hit a button and it didn't work. It didn't work. You just
Proper
gave a sad
there.
Face. Well, here's my point is that, like, honestly, I don't think I had even thought about it for years.
You should have named Jack Valentine.
Everybody would hate him.
I know.
Everybody
I think
would
it's
hate
funny, though.
Middle name Valentine.
That would have been cool.
Jack Valentine. That's good.
Jack Valentine cut. Next time.
Sure, next time.
We could call
tonight.
Him JV.
JV. Yeah. What I don't like is now I'm getting Valentines from my girlfriend's in the mail. So it's like, I just
Who
got
does
through.
That?
Apparently, a lot of people I know, I'm getting Valentine's.
That's stupid.
It's exhausting. We just got through holiday season. We just
you
did
need
the card
to
thing.
Kick your nerdy card giving friends
they're
to the
nerdy.
Curb.
You know what? They're all just like super. Okay, no, you're right.
They might be.
No, you're right. They're nerdy.
They sound like nerds.
Were they liberal arts majors?
Yeah, they're all.
Do they wear chunky sweaters?
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nerds.
Anyway, I'm just saying, like, now I feel like there's this whole other level that's kicking in with Valentine's Day. So,
yeah, it gets to be a bit much.
But what I don't like about this new layer is it just looks like I'm disorganized and don't care. You know, it used to just be like, okay, you're getting laid or not. Someone's buying you flowers or not. You're single. You're having Galentine's Day. Whatever. Enjoy. But now I'm getting shit in the mail.
Yeah, that's too much.
I'm stressed out as it is. I just had a kid. I can't send people Valentine's.
I'll be honest. I don't know who's doing that. And if you're out there listening and you're doing it, stop.
No, I'm going to get tweeted at for this because I know I'm not the only one getting these things.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I know Stupid. I'm not. But the problem is they're really nice messages, like letters. Like, Caitlin, you know, we've been friends for a long time. And I'm like, fuck, I feel like such
Who
an
writes
asshole.
Letters? What monster takes the time to write a letter now?
Yeah, that's where it's...
I'm swimming with sharks, guys. I don't know. I don't know.
1963. Time traveling Carrie knows.
Yay!
There, now it works.
Is that also the time traveling button?
Yeah.
It's a multi-use button. It's like a good pair of jeans.
So do we talk about how we are number 29 out of 22 on the Uproxx? Is it Uproxx?
It's like
What's Pod or something
What's
like
pod.
That.
Yeah, like they only talk about podcasts.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're still going to be 29 out of 22 when this comes out, but
yeah,
it is.
We're killing it.
It's just, I mean.
We were the only one that they said would make better background noise.
Yeah, I did resent that a little bit. And the fact that I apparently sound like Jack Black.
Which I kind of see, though.
Is it because of all the scatting I
Here's what I'll say. We just covered Bernie for White Wine True Crime, which is also dropping today. In the future.
But we just happened to
watch Carrie's head explode.
Mind blown.
She seriously just like, you just blinked with like your forehead. You were like, huh?
I just slammed my forehead into the soft microphone.
You do
I
sound
read
like
that
him.
Article of, with the Jack
oh, okay,
Black
good.
As we were getting ready to record today. That movie, Bernie, that stars Jack Black.
That's telekinesis, Kyle.
Carrie is
a Tenacious D reference.
Vietnam crawling through this riff. I'm just saying that we
I need
just
a paper and pen so I can write down all the dates. I can't keep track of them all.
Losing it. Anyway, you do kind of sound like him. That's all.
Yeah, you do kind of.
Okay,
with,
good.
With a fresh memory in my mind, I was like, well, yeah, okay, I can hear it. I'm back.
Well, we're still not background noise. As the
I mean, I was driving and I was like, I actually could vacuum and listen to us in the background. I get it.
Yeah, but what does that even mean? Good podcast to not pay attention to.
You know what? That's kind of what they mean. Here's what they mean. We're not very detailed compared to really intense true crime podcasts that are like...
They did talk about our irrelevant tangents.
But in a positive light, they're like, yay, irrelevant tangents.
Have they listened to My Favorite Murder?
That was number three, I believe.
It's all tangents.
I'm just saying.
That wasn't mentioned.
I don't even really care if they said that we all sound like we're eating poop. We made the list, so who cares?
That's true.
All press is good press.
That's true.
And we weren't last. We weren't last.
We weren't last.
We weren't. Damn it.
You nerd. You nerd, Caitlin. We were just doing it once. Wow.
Yeah, even the second time was pushing it. The third time. Oof. Woof.
Yeah.
Oh, Mana, don't. Oh, man.
So, yeah, it's Valentine's Day. We're talking about dating.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of lonely people listening to this, and maybe they're going to pull up Tinder tonight and
swipe right,
find themselves a date and maybe get brutally murdered.
Maybe.
Yay.
Or you could just stay home, vacuum, and put this episode on in the background.
In the background, yeah.
Save yourself.
Yeah.
The trouble.
You still might get murdered. I've seen enough true crime tonight.
Yeah.
What?
Woo-hoo! Yeah, when it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah.
So today, we're
Can
talking
you say
about...
say that about murder, though?
When it's your time, it's your time? Yeah, I think about that more than almost anything.
Yeah.
Because it's the most random... Like, you don't know you're going to be murdered if you're vacuuming in your house and you get picked out by, like, Ramirez or something.
I saw a true crime show once about this girl. She was obsessed with the idea that she was going to be killed by a serial killer at some point in her life.
And she did?
And she was.
Well, is that
and
kind
it
of like
was
a
like,
secret?
That's a
where
secret.
You put it
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it was like a total, he just jumped out from behind a bush and murdered her. And it's like, yeah, you manifested that Oof. Into your life, lady.
So if anybody wants to know if they're going to be murdered and what date, tweet at me at time traveling Carrie 722.
Well, now you're going to have to open that whole.
Yeah, now you got
to change your Twitter
and
handle.
I feel like that's too long. It's too long of a
it's
handle.
It's not.
Maybe.
By the way, no pun intended, but these handles, they've gotten out of hand. They're very long now. I'm being followed by like boot scootin' tootin' fan number 17. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Go outside.
Yeah.
Boots scootin'.
Or don't go outside because you're going to get killed.
You're going to get killed. Anyway, so.
Like Ashley Nicole Pegram.
Oh,
what a name.
That sounds like a high school name. Remember Ashley Pegram? Yeah, I heard she got murdered.
Ashley Nicole.
She went on a first date with a man named Edward Bonilla, who she had met on the dating app Meet Me.
I haven't heard of that one.
I haven't
exactly.
either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe
he probably
just...
set it up himself just to lure.
It was his honeypot.
Can you look it up so we can see what it looks like?
I guess.
Carrie's saying this with
it's
a wine
okay.
glass in her hand.
It's okay. I'll figure it out later.
Yeah, we'll just look it up later. I'm sure it just looks
Carrie,
like a dating site.
Don't join Meet Me. This,
I
this
think
is
it'd be
literally
fun to maybe.
It's a good place to get murdered by Edward Bonilla.
Profile for me while we're recording. Hmm.
They met for a first date that they had arranged on Meet Me, and that was the last night she was seen alive.
Sure.
1 month later, her body was found buried in a wooded area near Harleyville, South Carolina. Bonilla said Ashley had been drinking. And that he accidentally hit her with his mom's car.
This story
when she got out to use the bathroom.
So awful. Just from the standpoint, all the details that he tells, like none of them make sense. It's
no.
such a poor lie.
Well, you know what it is? It's this guy who wants to blame the craziness of women on, like, clearly he just hates women. So
yeah.
his alibi was just about
bitches
what
be
a
cray.
What a bitches be cray. Let's be honest. But
it's absolutely that because he says
he just hates women. So he's like, I wanted to kill this woman. And so then now I'm just going to think of a whole story about what a crazy, dumb bitch she was.
Yeah. He said they started fighting after he accidentally hit her with his mom's car
when she got out to use the restroom
and that he had to restrain her and that she died in his
arms. Because she got mad that he hit her with the car.
Yeah.
as one should get if you have any
because
sort of self-worth.
Look, at the very least...
You know
least,
how you're trying to restrain someone and calm them down and you accidentally cause blunt force trauma to their head? It happens.
Yeah.
So this was Edward Bonilla's response when he was in court on the stand. He said, "It never entered my mind to harm someone. It was an accident. An accident influenced by the way she was acting." It's like, dude, that defense is not going to work. Has the she's a crazy bitch defense ever fucking worked?
I wonder how often that gets used. You know, because a lot of times
I feel like a lot
saying,
of abusers probably use it a lot.
I think it's rare, though, for a guy. I haven't heard a lot where a guy is blaming the woman.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we can say. Ladies, Unpops listeners that happen to be women, I'm specifically only talking to you. If you're out on a date and the guy just starts talking about how crazy his ex-girlfriend was,
yep.
Don't date that guy. Come back.
Yeah, because the odds are she wasn't crazy.
Or he made her crazy. I've had guys where I literally feel like they're making me crazy.
He made her crazy. Yes, yeah. I completely agree. Because most of the good guys I dated that had legitimately crazy ex-girlfriends never spoke about them. And I only found out how crazy they were because they sent me a message and decided to talk to me. And I was like, oh, this is a crazy ex-girlfriend. But a guy that just goes on and on about how crazy or horrible his ex was, that's a red flag. And he's probably a dude like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying. At the very least, he doesn't like women.
He will hit you with his mom's car and then murder
by
you.
Accident.
It was an accident because she was being crazy.
If anything, just
sometimes
use...
like the drama, though.
Oh, no. Look, some men love crazy.
Yeah.
But those are never the guys that talk about how crazy their girlfriend is. They just like keep getting browbeaten.
Because like maybe like they're embarrassed.
Or they like the crazy. I think people are like that. But anyway.
Let's talk about Nicole White.
Oh, man.
Oh, Nicole. On June 6, 2015, she picked up Jonathan Harris from his home for a first date.
Is that a little weird that she picked him up? Like, I had to read that a couple times.
Not necessarily.
Actually, I kind of get it, because if you're social media dating, at least that's one good safe power play. Didn't work out for her, but it's like, it's my car,
well,
so
time traveling,
I can leave
Carrie
when I want.
Would say, in 1952, where I just came back from,
sure.
The guy always
drove
right. His T-Bird, and he would meet my papa.
Sure, yep, your
sitting
papa.
On the porch.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't have a car when I met Angie, so she had to drive. Everywhere.
I think
was that weird? Like, was it? And I'm
well, I mean, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a car by choice because I didn't need one. I was
right.
Like, I was just Ubering to and from the office. And it was,
I always just wonder, like,
so no, it didn't. It didn't feel
emasculating. Like, I know.
No, it's definitely not emasculating. Okay. And I wouldn't want to date a woman who was like, oh, you don't have a car. Yeah. It's like, I can afford to get around. I'm probably in LA, and at the time I didn't need a car.
I could definitely, at this point with the housing crisis, see the advantage of being in LA and just Ubering and taking public transportation.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's what I did for a long time.
I'll tell you what, if I lived in LA and
not having to deal with parking,
I would
and traffic,
I would Uber here every time. There's no
yeah
there's
because
no
you
question.
Know like at least at my apartment there's parking, but normally like parking you have to pay for and
everything,
gas. It's just it's.
Insurance, maintenance,
yeah, it's every bit. Like at that time, like I have a car now, and between car and insurance, I pay like $300 something a month. And at the time, I was maybe spending $250-$300 a month taking Uber. So it's like,
yeah,
and you didn't have to get parking tickets,
right?
Which you're gonna get,
right?
And you can check your phone. You know what I mean? Versus waiting.
I can play
until
Cookie
a red
Jam.
Light.
Yeah, you could become a really, really intense alcoholic.
You can do all of those
you
things in the back
things.
Of an Uber.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
We actually just talked to these two guys about who pays on a date now.
Yeah.
And I said, and again, maybe I'm like old school that way, but I grew up where like my dad just paid for everything. Like even now, if we go out, like I know like he's going to pay the bill. And so even though I have an awful track record with dating, I still kind of have that in the back of my mind. And one of the guys we met was like, well, she makes more than me. I think she should pay. And it's like, okay, one, as a girl, you want to feel taken care of, at least at the beginning. Like,
I agree.
I feel like that sets a tone.
I agree.
For how the relationship's going to go. Plus, and my other argument was, I mean, you've been in my bathroom. How many, like, toiletries do I have? Like, that's
expensive to be a girl.
It's super expensive.
Yeah, the financial investment in dating for females is much steeper.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Unlike peacocks, we're the ones who are the prettier.
Yep. Unlike peacocks, you're there. You're there. You did
it. You got it.
You got it.
Good job.
Good job.
That was exhausting.
No, she was great.
Yeah.
So
I think you did good.
Poor Nicole.
So poor Nicole. She picks up Jonathan Harris. Nothing weird about that. It's 2015 when this happened. They drive to Jeepers Country Bar and Grill in Spanaway, Washington.
That is where I want to hop on and saying things are not going well.
Yeah, that's
Jeepers.
I would totally go there.
Yeah, but not on a date.
Not on a date.
Not
I agree.
On a date. I would go to Jeepers with you in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. We could do a live podcast from Jeepers Country Bar. Let's see if we can set that up.
That would be so fun.
So they drove to Jeepers Country Bar and Grill in Spanaway, Washington. And several hours later, they see her leave with him in her car. And that's the last time anyone sees her.
Sure.
She never made it home. She was reported missing on June 7th. Almost 2 weeks later, June 20th, a canine from a volunteer search and rescue team found White's body at the bottom of a wooded ravine. Good puppy, but that's a sad outcome.
Yeah, yeah. But dog's doing
a good
dog.
Yeah, good dog.
Gave everybody closure.
Right. Her body was wrapped in a green tarp and was severely decomposed.
Gross.
Detectives believe that after the two left the bar, they drove back to Harris' house. Police say Harris beat White to death, wrapped her in the tarp, loaded her body in her car, drove to the wooded area, and rolled her down a ravine. He then drove her car off the side of the road near his house and walked home. And then the next day, according to cell phone records and data from his ignition in his car, they were able to determine he drove back to
have a car.
Mm.
Maybe this is the strongest argument to not take yourself to the date, because
like meet there.
Yeah, because if your car's gone, it looks like you went somewhere versus
right.
you're missing. You know,
maybe
like that
maybe premeditated, because it doesn't talk about a motive.
Well, I mean, he wanted to kill someone.
Yeah,
I mean, he
not...
had stuff. He wrapped her body in a they went to his house. He had stuff to wrap her up in. I mean, he wanted to kill somebody.
Yeah. He didn't.
This is the nightmare scenario.
Yeah,
for
they didn't
online dating.
Really mention yeah. any kind of motive. They did mention at one point he stomped her to death. Also, like that was part of the beating.
Seriously, what a jerk!
Yeah, he's a real.
Like Carrie says, sorry, dating is hard enough.
Yeah, without getting stomped to death.
Jesus.
Let's talk about John Altinger, a guy dying for a change.
I heard the story before.
2018.
Right?
Finally. Okay.
Finally. This is a crazy fucking
story.
It
is a crazy story. And it was on like a 48 hours or something like that,
and
where they covered
Plenty
this.
Of Fish, too. That's a sketch.
Yeah,
that's,
Plenty of Fish
that's
is...
That's the Detroit of dating site,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
You could tell me all day long that it's gone its way back up, but
it's like a fucking pawn shop.
This story makes me so sad. It reminds me, I think, what was that one with, what was that movie with Drew Barrymore, where she was a nerd?
Never Been Kissed.
Yes. And then somebody asked her to prom, and then she went outside and like...
They all made fun of her.
They drove by and like threw eggs at her.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the story reminds me of.
That movie's weird though, because she comes back to high school as like a 30-year-old and nobody says like, wow, she looks a little advanced.
Mature.
Yeah, and then she's wearing like lingerie during the day. You remember that movie? It's weird. She like comes to school with like a feathery, she basically wears the same thing that she does in that Batman movie she was in.
But the crazy thing was she like had some sort of weird chemistry with like one of the teachers, right?
It's a very problematic movie. I mean, like, how relieved
it,
is that teacher? Like, thank God this was an undercover journalist. Oh, wait, that might be worse news. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's a weird movie. I haven't seen it since it came out, but it's a weird movie. Yeah. I remember that.
I really want to just sit down and rewatch all of those, like, $50 million teenage movies again, because they're really... I love Jawbreaker. Everybody loves Jawbreaker.
Yeah,
that's
Jawbreaker
like a classic.
Great.
But there's a... Can't Hardly Wait. Solid. Solid.
Solid.
I know we've got some very young millennials that listen to the show. Highly recommend watching
was
Can't
that
Hardly
Freddie
Wait.
Prince Jr.?
You're goddamn right it was, Carrie.
Because he was in a bunch of those
Can't
movies
Hardly
for
Wait.
A while.
No, Freddie Prince
Are
Jr.
You sure
is
that?
Not in Can't Hardly Wait. It's Jennifer Love Hewitt. And what's his name?
I know Jennifer Love Hewitt was in it.
No, Freddie Prince Jr. is never been... Not Never Been Kissed. She's All That. That's the one you guys
remember. Oh, yeah.
Kiss me. Yeah. Okay.
Hardly Wait is named after a replacement song.
Yes, it is. Can't Hardly
really
Wait is almost a hyperlink movie. It's a house party that's happening. And why can't I not? Is it Ethan Embry? Who am I thinking of? The girl from Six Feet Under is in it. Claire from Six Feet Under is in it. The boy from Hook, all grown up, is in it. Carrie, stop paying attention to anything.
No,
I have to
I'm
say.
Going
Freddie
to
Prinze Jr. is not
look
in this
it
movie.
Up. Look at me doing research over here. Okay,
on air, but yes.
So John Altinger.
Yeah, John Altinger.
He on October 10th, 2008, he responds to an ad on Plenty of Fish and leaves to meet a woman. He's so excited about it, he tells all his friends. Turns out that woman was actually amateur filmmaker Mark Twitchell. Twitchell had filmed a murder scene in his garage a few weeks earlier and wanted to recreate it with
Ethan Embry.
It was Ethan Embry.
With an unaware victim. And he had recorded or filmed this movie in his house a couple weeks earlier.
Why
called House of Cards.
This is like the Menendez brothers and those guys from the confession tapes. They write the script and then that's just not enough. They have to do the thing that they wrote. What a,
like
what a bunch
acting.
Of egotists.
Yeah. He had filmed this movie. It was an 8-minute film called House of Cards, and it revolves around a philandering husband who goes to meet a woman he met online, but instead he's tasered and abducted by a mysterious man in a hockey mask. And this guy just wanted to recreate that scene with actual people. And he tells jurors that after the movie was shot, he came up with a plan to make sequels for House of Cards and to create a buzz around what he hoped would be a franchise. His idea was for something he called multiple angle psychosis layering entertainment, or MAPLE. Because this guy's Canadian as
like
fuck.
Like Amway, like a multi...
Yeah,
it sounds, where it's like a tier.
It's definitely the MLM of filmmaking.
Yeah, it sounds scamtastic for sure. He through MAPLE, he would put actual people through the same experience as the House of Cards victims, but not kill them. That way, he said, when those people saw the movie, no one's going to see the movie, dude. But they would text or email friends to say something similar had actually happened to them. That, he believed, would get people talking. Does he get that even that part is a very heinous crime? That
again,
you would go
if you're
to jail
a narcissist,
for?
Which clearly this guy is, yeah, he does believe that.
Honestly, my complaint is in a different area. This guy clearly doesn't have appreciation for the amount of work all of this is going to be.
Right.
You know, I mean, I feel like a lot of creative projects start out with a really big idea, you know?
Yeah.
And you start to execute and you're like, holy shit, this is going to be a lot of work. I'm going to have to abduct not one, an unnumbered amount of people to make this marketing scheme work. And then at that point, you're going to say to yourself, like, well, I'm going to need a team. There's no way.
You're going to need a team of kidnappers.
I can't answer my emails and do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's going
to
be a lot.
Commit multiple kidnappings to...
Yeah. So
that said, a lot of should hats. We do something like this to promote the podcast?
I mean, do you have a Hootsuite account? I mean, we can make it happen.
Yeah. Well, I have Buffer. It's 2018.
Is this the kill room?
Caitlin, come on.
The studio / kill room.
It doesn't matter. We can talk
he
about it.
He basically invented an escape room.
Yeah, he kind of did.
That's what it was.
And
I have no interest in these experiences, by the way. Like, in one of them in San Diego, you have to sign like a waiver for. Like, it's so intense that like you have to sign this like really lengthy waiver and they make you eat things. And it's like, I don't, not unless I'm getting money on a game show.
Yeah.
That's not happening just for fun.
I don't want shit
I
to
might
do
not,
with that.
Not paying you to abuse me in that way. Also, imagine the kind of people that want to be abused that way. Ew.
Yeah.
I'd still probably try it.
I don't think you'd last very long. I love you, but...
No, they lock you in there, though, because we did, as a team building for work...
That's like a cute
puzzle
thing,
we did an
though,
escape.
Right?
Yeah, it's really fucking hard, too. It was like the Shakespeare room, so of course I was like, even though I was like a English major, I was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah,
so I just like pouted in
but
a corner,
please tell me,
waited for the hour to be done so I could go to a bar.
At some point, you missed me. I could have gotten you guys
out
of there
in a 100%. Heartbeat.
Yeah.
Take me to the Shakespeare room.
I did learn, though, I'm not good at puzzles.
Oh.
Well, then you
but
might...
you are kind of locked in there for an hour.
Then you wouldn't have gotten out of Mark Twitchell's garage, probably.
I would not.
Little did you know, it was all part of MAPLE.
MAPLE, what a dumb name. I mean,
it's creepy, actually.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. He actually had tried this once before. He, on October 3rd, 2008, he posted an online dating thing trying to lure a date out, and a guy named Gilles Tetreau...
Good job.
Arrives at the garage. Was he telling people, meet me at my garage? Or did they like
at my house and then maybe come in through the garage?
Yeah, it had to be something like that.
I wonder if he's got one of those like little metal catches with the string on the other side of the gate and he's just probably got it posted on it. Just pull.
Yeah.
Just pull down. Like when you go to a barbecue,
into the garage.
When you go to a barbecue and people just like tape on the front door, like come in through the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around back.
Around back. That's a cuter way.
Open
of saying.
Garage door. Come yeah. in. What?
You can hear
no.
the journey
the take
playing
off
in
shoes.
The back. Yep. Take off. Fuck. Take off.
A lot of work.
He had bought knives and created a kill room with plastic sheets on the walls and a table to catch blood that was part of the hoax. He said the plan was just to surprise Tetro and tell him it was all make-believe and ask him to write about it on the web. But 10 minutes before he arrived, things changed. This is a quote from Mark Twitchell. I got this spur-of-the-moment idea. Instead of going through it in the regular way, I'll actually try to scare the guy. So this Tetro guy gets to his garage, and Mark Twitchell hits him with a stun baton, and somehow Tetro manages to fight back and escape, which at that point, wouldn't you, as the filmmaker, be like, all right, this is a bad idea.
Plan B.
Yeah. Let's figure out another way to promote this.
I would, of course, be like, oh, it was a failure. Let's just scrap it.
Carrie would shut down.
From scratch.
Grab a nice little bulk Gallo wine and that's the end of that.
The little
plan.
Airline bottles.
Yep.
But obviously this guy, again, being like a narcissist or having whatever wrong with him mentally is like, nope, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, he's got some stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah.
I love that.
Tenacity,
yeah.
If you will.
You can't take that away from him.
No.
So he tries the same thing a week later. He lures John Altinger to the same garage on the same premise, but when Altinger arrives, Twitchell said he had reverted to his original plan of telling him it was a hoax and asking him to write about it on the web. And according to Twitcher, Altinger, quote, did not seem humored at it. Really?
What? Fuck this.
Like, was he expecting the guy to be like, oh, I thought you were a woman. Funny.
This guy reminds me of a dude that I ended up doing a show with that painted his shoes.
What?
He painted his shoes. He painted, like, designs on his shoes. And, like, he walked in and he smelled like Cost Plus World Market, like, immediately. I was like, this is not good. And he had, like, a vest on. Also not good.
Mm-mm.
And when the host came back and was like, hey, how would you like me to introduce you? He said, oh, I'm a humorist.
Nope.
And I'm like, you probably
so
participate
vomit.
In Maple.
With that being said, yeah. though, I probably wouldn't sleep with him.
What, really?
Yeah.
This Mark Twitchell or the vest guy?
The vest guy.
The humorist.
What about Mark Twitchell?
The humorist. No, but the saddest thing, though, was the two guys, Altinger and Gillis or whatever, it says, like, they're so excited for, like, this date. Like,
yeah.
It just makes me so sad.
Yeah.
So one of them told all their friends that they're going on this date. Like, that's what you do when you're excited about something.
I bet the picture he was using was, like, a really hot babe.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Or was it supposed to be hetero, or was it?
No, yeah, they both thought they were meeting a woman.
All right, anyway, keep
going. And so Twitchell and Altinger get in a fight over this, and Altinger ends up getting stabbed. Surprise! And Twitchell said he didn't call for an ambulance because he knew Altinger would be dead soon. And he thought that maybe having a man killed in a garage dressed up like a kill room would make him a murder suspect, which that's a leap. Like, let the police do their job first.
Right.
Before you start putting words in their mouth.
Have a little faith.
Yeah. Like, just tell your story and you'll be fine.
The real problem with this guy is he just gives up on himself a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he didn't like his first plan and now.
Well, he doesn't give up on himself, actually. Like, he keeps trying. He just tries to reformulate it.
The problem is people just don't get Maple.
Yeah,
that's
really
fair.
That's...
He should have done like a marketing campaign first, and then people walk
with, like,
in
door
and go,
hangers?
Oh shit, is this one of those Maple things? He's like, yeah. Bzz.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't get Maple, but I hear you.
Well, it takes time.
You know,
I
Richard
think the logo would be a leaf,
sure, or maybe just like syrup,
a bottle of syrup, a pool of red syrup.
Maybe each
nice.
Leaf,
nice
each point of the leaf has a letter on it. M-A-P-L-E.
I like that. Sharp point.
That's what they pay me
the
for.
Leaf too.
Oh, they're all knives.
Yeah.
It's a maple leaf made out of knives.
Yep. I like this now. We could take it over. This guy's totally in prison. We can just start Maple on our own.
Yeah, I don't think he had a time to trademark it or anything.
Yeah, he told jurors that in a panic, he cut up the body, tried to burn it, cut it up some more, then finally dumped it down a sewer.
See, I'm telling you, he gives up on his plans.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't
have
the follow through that we need
See,
to be
I don't
successful.
Agree.
He did.
I mean, how is he supposed to follow up with that?
I'm just saying, like, at first he was going to do one thing and then he does the other thing. That's a consistent pattern.
He's
in this.
An artist
right.
and creative people, as we know, they're all over the place.
All right. Okay, you're right.
You win this time, Carrie.
I'm not going to argue.
I know. Jeez. This is probably like the most I've ever backed up one of my ideas. I'm very passionate about this.
I just like that in this, finally, you're arguing for one of the murderers and not me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, usually
I am,
around.
Yeah.
So after all this happens, he breaks into Altinger's home and writes emails under his name to his friends saying he had run off to Costa Rica with a woman he'd met. He also stole his printer and laptop.
Dick move.
Like, why the printer?
It's always interesting.
Even then, printers were like $45.
So he's in Costa Rica right now? Like at the end of Hannibal?
He's probably
Hannibal. Like, I'm sorry, at the end of Silence of the Lambs where Hannibal's just like walking into a crowd?
Oh,
this guy's in Costa Rica right now?
He broke into John Altinger's home and
saying
sent
that he ran
emails
off to Costa Rica.
To that guy's friends.
He's probably at a surf camp.
No, this guy's in prison.
You
but he's
check
in...
out for 5 seconds on this podcast and it's a whole other ending in your head.
But he's in prison in Canada, so I think he got like 28 years. And he was a young
Maple.
Dude, so he'll be out.
Oh, hence Maple.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, when they wrote emails or, you know, now when people are like, oh, they hacked into their Facebook. Like, how do you do that?
Let's find out. Because right? I would really fuck with people if I knew how to do that in a loving way. I would arrange surprise parties with that.
Didn't that happen with the Kohlhepp thing where he
was Kohlhepp
sending Facebook messages from his victims? I don't know.
But he messed up because it still pinged off of a tower.
Or
so.
You have their name or their email and then you just forgot password and change it?
Yeah.
Should I not be talking about this on air?
Well, with the forgot password thing, you still have to...
Like security questions?
Yeah, there's
but
still
But if you have somebody's email, because what you can do is you go into Facebook and you see what kind of email account they have.
Yeah.
So if you know how to I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's
how these
big Nigerian scams
If he's
happen.
Breaking into this guy's house... Provided if the guy didn't have like that initial password on his computer.
Oh yeah, if it's just open on his
like,
laptop,
if it's just
like yeah, if
open,
somebody murdered me and opened my laptop, they could send an email. From
yeah,
my
you
laptop.
Could just go to his Gmail and probably
All right,
wouldn't
well, I'm
have
glad
to
we
sign
figured
it.
That part out.
Yeah, now we know everything he did wrong,
so
we can
when we recreate
we can
this.
Make Pretty Scary a more immersive experience through the use of Maple.
Pretty Scary exclamation mark the experience.
The Maple experience.
Oh, the Maple experience. I like this.
This is good. Yeah.
But again,
we are very creative.
It just sounds like a lot of work.
On a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I know.
We're coming up with some ideas. I like it. Let's talk about Sharon
None
Winters.
None of us are writing them down.
This is a pretty short story, but it's very sad. She was a 39-year-old woman with learning disabilities who suffered from depression.
No.
She goes, she decides to try online dating and meets a guy named Kevin Hawk. They decide to move in together after one date.
Carrie, thoughts?
That's like moving at lesbian speed.
Wait, what? How does that go?
Lesbians are known for, and you can quote me on this, they are known for moving very quickly.
All of my lesbian friends have moved rather fast,
yeah.
I have to say.
Mine as well.
Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
Now you do.
So, at lesbian speed, they move in together, and shortly thereafter, her brother stops by and says, hey.
Danger, yeah. you're now approaching lesbian speed.
Her brother stops by and says, this is very lesbian of you.
You're so lesbian.
And maybe you should...
She's got learning disabilities, so she does not know what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Oh...
I didn't mean that.
Everyone will be fine. We're all doing fine.
Come on, everybody.
Come on.
Lesbo.
I'm not doing this. I'm not a bad person. Keep going. Jesus.
Yeah, you're not.
So.
You just made wine come out of it?
This is great.
Yeah.
Caitlin just spit wine.
Most of the things that come out of my mouth are very stream of consciousness. So you know it was like authentic.
The problem is the way you say it doesn't sound like, yeah, you are. Sure, Caitlin.
I spit coffee all over my computer after a That's What She Said joke last week. I don't even remember what. It was Connor.
Adam, you need to get outside.
I don't remember. It was Connor. I had said
Take
something
walk,
and I was
well,
recording.
Connor is so funny.
I was recording with Connor and he just dropped the most inappropriate.
Yeah,
that's what she said. Joke and
that's where we're
coffee.
That's
everywhere.
Where we're at with that's what she said. You have to like go. You have to. It's high risk, high yield now. You can't just lay it out there anymore. You gotta. Yeah.
So So her brother stops by to tell her that's a bad idea. 3 days later, she gets stabbed 90 times.
Whoa.
By Kevin Hawks.
Oh, no.
And she died.
Well, that's how that ends for sure. Yeah. You don't survive 90. 70 maybe, but not 90.
Overkill.
So don't.
Literally.
Don't move in with
Kevin Hawks.
Your online date a day after meeting him.
It's not recommended.
No, no.
Not by. Not by the Surgeon General.
Not in a heterosexual relationship.
No.
Anyway.
No, 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 no.
Lesbian relationship, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it might even be on the slow side.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to show up with a box.
Yeah, you cut that down to 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
So yeah, these are all pretty fucking sad. Michael Sandy, another guy. Yay.
Oh, thank God.
But
this
no.
one's gay.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
He meets, he arranges a date on a gay chat site. And I mean that as it's a chat site for gay men, not what a lame fucking chat site this
I've
gay
never,
site.
I've never known you to use that in that
I
way,
agree.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I know,
so I don't know. I don't know
me.
Where that moment of self-conscious
I've never heard
editing came
toss.
From, but I've never heard
yeah,
you
that word
use
around.
That ever.
Well,
we're your friends. We believe in you. You're not an asshole.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're not.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
It's that Midwest sensibility.
So what he was actually doing was setting up a date to be robbed. He picked up 20-year-old Anthony Fortunato, and the two drove to a nearby rest stop that was popular among gay men looking to hook up.
That was nice that he picked him up.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. He did the driving. There he encounters two other men, John Fox, who I believe is the former Chicago Bears head coach, recently fired.
Same one.
Yeah, I think it's the same one. And Ilya Shurov. Their intent is to rob Michael Sandy, but when one of them punches him, he flees and runs toward a nearby highway. He gets away, tries to flag down a car, and gets hit and dies from
that
the
part.
Injuries he sustained getting hit by a car.
That's a bad first date.
So this
that's
is,
a
this
terrifying
is,
first date. Yeah, most of these, I think with the
saying,
exception of one, are first
this is,
dates.
But this is murder adjacent.
And it's not really a date. Like, they went straight to, it sounds like, a place to, like, hook up.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They're moving at gay speed.
Which is a smidge slower.
Yeah. I mean, they're just hooking up. They're not moving.
I feel like. Yeah, a lot of gay guys, like, they have a whole app, Grindr.
Listen, I don't know what it would be like to be in a relationship with two male sex drives. I have no idea
right,
what that would be like. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they're still dudes. Like,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I get
they have
it.
Needs.
Yeah.
Stop.
Why?
I don't
What's
know.
What's happening?
I don't know. That just came out. I don't know. Just a part of me was like, alert.
Okay. For the record, I'm pro-gay.
You are now approaching lesbian speed.
This is a pro-gay zone, you see? Let's talk
One more.
About, let's talk about Lee Swanson. November 16th, 2012. She is picked up from the Saginaw area for a date with a man named, and I somehow left the name.
I noticed that. I was like, that's weird.
What the fuck? I will look that up quick.
No, it's at the bottom of the article.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's in your notes later on. Stephen Michael Fabi.
Oh, Stephen Michael Fabi, yeah. So she...
It's a dumb last name, Fabi.
Oh, have you seen his picture?
No.
Once this... he's basically Fred Durst.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Wow, he looks exactly like Fred Durst.
Yeah, he's got the fucking red hat, the whole thing. So she's picked up from the Saginaw area for a date with Michael Fabi. And that's on November 16th. November 18th, she calls her mom at around noon to tell her she'll be home around 6:30, and it's the last time anyone hears from her. They report her missing on November 19th. On November 27th, police trace the call she made to a home in the 5100 block of North Fox Road in Edenville Township in Michigan. Later that day, deputies visit the home. They say the man inside, 30-year-old Stephen Michael Fabi, shot and killed himself as deputies stepped out of their vehicles and walked up to the home. Swanson's body was found in a wooded area across from the home later that day.
Well, that's what
that
you get
one,
for doing it all for the nookie.
Yeah, yeah.
There.
You're welcome.
Yeah. They can take that cookie and stick it up their ha? Like, why was he so afraid to say ass?
The 90s were a stupid time.
Very stupid.
They really were.
Like, it's a stupid, it's like the worst time.
90s were like lettuce. Like, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, iceberg.
The thing about Fred Durst, he has...
A jazz show here, right?
He's got a jazz show, and he's kind of like a reformed douchebag, where now he's like, yeah, I was kind of an asshole, that entire time. Like, he doesn't wear the
hat
anymore.
Dated Carmen Electra, if that wasn't, like, the king of douchiness.
You know, I just remembered Carmen Electra, like, last week. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, her face popped up in my head. I was like, oh, yeah. And
you
I looked her up.
Facebook post about it.
Yeah. Because it shocked me. Like, it was like, that was a whole...
She was a whole thing.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, it's weird to think that this person was everywhere, and I completely forgot about
Married
her. And
to
then
Dennis Rodman?
Ugh.
Ooh, I remember that.
I was on Singled Out 3 different times, and she was the host. And she was new at the time. I went on thinking it was going to be Jenny McCarthy. And when I was in line, they were like, oh, no, there's some new host named Carmen Electra. And I was like, who's that?
They should bring that show back.
They should. That was
why,
a good show.
Why haven't they brought that show back? Of all the things that have been revived.
And Remote Control. Remember that?
Yeah.
MTV show? Both of those. Fun. I would watch.
When I...
people would watch Singled Out more, though. No
got
offense.
Out in the first round on all 3 episodes I was on.
Oh.
You had to walk by and do something to the guy when they saw you. And I would always give him the hand, like, uh-uh.
Oh, good.
Nice.
I think I have it on, like, a VCR tape
I would
somewhere.
Love to see a smash cut of all 3 of your send-offs.
Yeah.
That would be great.
You should have pointed at him and done the, like, throat-slitting motion.
I should have actually killed him. Wouldn't ran up and stabbed
I
him.
I wonder if anybody else worked out a awkwardly long pantomime. What if one of them was a mime?
That would be bad. I don't like that.
Well, listen, I think the moral of the story is dating online, you are risking a few things.
Quite a few things, yeah. This one's especially sad because no one's ever going to know exactly why. Like, they know she met this guy and he murdered her. But there's never going to be any...
These were all in kind of weird areas. Do you feel like it's safer to do online dating in bigger cities than in the middle of nowhere?
No,
Yeah, I don't know if that matters.
I think murders just don't get as much attention in bigger cities because there's, in a lot of places, there's so many murders to deal with.
True.
So, I don't know.
I have some friends who met online and are now married. And I mean, it definitely happens. So you can either have this great loving relationship
or you
can
die.
Get murdered.
Yeah. It's okay. So it's just know what you're dealing with.
So let's talk about one last one, Sydney Loof. This one's really weird. It's very recent. On November 15th, 2017, she goes on a date with 51-year-old Aubrey Trail, and the details are really murky still, but at one point, Trail apparently takes her back to his apartment to smoke marijuana with his 23-year-old girlfriend, Bailey Boswell, and that's the last time anyone sees her alive. Her family reports her missing the next day. Her remains were found on December 4th, happy birthday, Jay-Z, off a country road in rural Nebraska. Aubrey Trail, in an interview with the Sioux City Journal, claimed responsibility for the death. This is a quote, "If they want justice for Sydney, somebody charge us." He's repeatedly claimed his girlfriend had nothing to do with the death. This is another quote, "I know for a fact and I can prove that Bailey Boswell was not present when Sydney Loof was killed." And despite this, neither of them have been arrested for this murder. This guy has basically confessed to a fucking newspaper reporter, and they still don't have enough physical or even circumstantial evidence.
That doesn't make any sense. So many people get convicted based on confession alone.
Yeah, it's nuts. I don't know what... Like, this is a really recent story. Like, it just happened the end of last year, and I looked again, and there still hasn't been any charges filed. They got arrested for like a different crime, like running some sort of scam, but they have not been.
Was it called Maple?
It was.
This is all Maple.
Yeah, this is all. None of these actually happened.
No, they happened.
They're just Maple.
It's just also Maple.
Oh, well, true.
It's part of the one of the layers.
It's the E,
the first tier.
Yeah,
it's the E in Maple.
We all died in a bus crash, and now
I do remember that.
Yeah, so now we're all just part of the Maple.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
We're part of the Maple
baby,
tricks.
Baby, do you know what that's worth? I really love that episode of Black Mirror. My point is, I think that in this case, they might not want to charge him because this is so flagrant. Like, here's what I'm saying. If I were the police department, after watching way too many true crime things and reading things, you would have to have a rock solid case going into the trial. Because if this guy's out there saying he killed a bunch of people and then they take it to trial and they have no actual evidence and it's just circumstantial evidence aside from the guy saying he did it and they lose that case, they're fucked.
Yeah, that's true.
They're completely fucked.
It is interesting because there are people who will confess to crimes that haven't done it, which is such a weird, thing to do. It's weird. You confess to things you didn't do, and then there's other people where, you know, the police department just wants to solve the case, so they coerce people into fake confessions.
The other problem is that confessing in the newspaper is not the same thing as confessing in a police station.
Yeah.
And if you have the right prosecuting attorney, you could, I mean, at any point you could probably prove that the confession in court was a coercion.
Yeah.
Like, it would be easy, because then the cop would say something stupid, like, or the detective rather would say, like, well, we see that you confessed here, so why don't you confess in this place?
Right.
And then they're screwed.
It does seem odd that in rural Nebraska, I feel like small towns especially want to close cases, because they don't want open cases lingering.
But that's what I'm saying is I think they're phobic of screwing. Nebraska. I think they're phobic of screwing this up.
Maybe.
That's my only guess.
Yeah.
That's the only thing it could possibly be.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
It's a weird case.
Yeah, it is weird.
I'm interested to see what happens with it.
Can you touch on the last one? Because I do think the ending of it is very interesting.
Mary Kay Beckman. I've seen this on a true crime show a couple times. She met Wade Ridley after being paired up with him on Match.com in September 2010. She knew him for 10 days before breaking things off. 4 fucking months later, on the night of January 21st, 2011, he shows up, hides in her garage, and eventually attacks her, stabbing her 10 times and kicking her in the head. She survived, though, and she sued Match.com for $10 million, citing negligence, negligent misrepresentation, deceptive trade, failure to warn, and negligent infliction of emotional distress. In her official complaint, Beckman claimed that the site led her to believe that she'd end up in a, quote, stable and loving relationship with another member, and didn't properly warn her about the dangers of meeting, quote, an individual whose intentions are not to find a mate, but to find victims to kill or rape. Following the attack, she underwent several surgeries to repair her jaw, save her eyesight and hearing, and to replace part of her skull. How do we feel about that lawsuit? Is that valid?
I don't feel like it is.
No.
I don't think so either.
I feel bad for her. I mean, it sounds like
you're taking some shit happening to her face.
You're taking the same risk dating anybody.
Anybody, 100%. Anywhere. Yeah.
Did it say if, like, did they settle out of court?
I didn't see anything.
I bet they did. Because, I mean, think about how much publicity it's already gotten that, you know, there's an article you said you've seen it repackaged on a couple different shows. So they probably did.
I will say this, though. You know, if you don't get a chance to somehow encounter this person in any other way apart from just meeting them for under this one pretense, there is more of a risk there. Because at least you don't have that first opportunity to say no in person. I think in person, because when you meet a person in person, it's completely different than what they portray online. But with that being said, you know that you're foregoing that opportunity when you embark on an online relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say to this woman other than, like, I'm really sorry this happened to you. That's horrible.
Right.
By and large, this doesn't happen to people who date online.
Yeah.
Like, let's say they had false advertising, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like, I mean, at the very least, you are dealing with someone who's resorting to online dating to find somebody.
Yeah.
Period. So that's where you're at. You're both in the same boat.
Yeah.
Oof.
So, happy dating, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Good luck out there.
Be safe. Don't murder anybody.
It makes more sense for everybody to be a lesbian.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because lesbians never kill each other.
Mm-mm.
There was a really crazy lesbian love triangle murder in Sioux Falls when I lived there. It's been profiled on a few true crime shows.
Were they all deaf?
Yes.
I saw that one.
Yeah. And the woman ends up cutting the other woman up in her basement with a chainsaw. Very grisly
story.
That's
excessive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't, never mind.
What?
I'm just saying, if you can't hear anything, chainsaw would be a really effective way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you can't hear it.
Right.
It's kind of nice.
Neighbors might hear it.
But where are they?
Sioux Falls, Sioux Falls is an actual city. There's like
isn't their flag like a chainsaw?
Does Sioux Falls have a flag? Do cities have flags?
It's a chainsaw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So I'm just saying, they're used to chainsaws there. So
this was fun. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? You should subscribe to the rest of our podcast on patreon.com/unpops.
Subscribe and also find White Wine True Crime. We've got a Patreon now. It's pretty exciting. And it's Valentine's Day, so go over to White Wine True Crime on iTunes. Before you download the episode, though, could you give us a good review? And give us a good review for Pretty Scary. 5 stars. Both podcasts would be great.
6 stars.
Yeah, try. little stick-to-itiveness, like the maple guy.
Yeah.
Like,
there should be an extra credit star.
There should be an extra credit star. But yeah, find all of us on social medias. I'm at Bossy Matilda and Caitlin Rose Cut on Instagram.
I'm at Carrie Martin 722 on Twitter and Carrie Martin 22 on Instagram. And as part of our Patreon, we are going to be dispensing love advice.
Yep.
But just know we're not like,
yeah, we're not licensed doctors to do that. No, we're going to be doing a live stream. We're going to throw it out to our group to name this experience, but it's going to be the last Sunday of February. So tune in, because we're going to pick some questions and Carrie and I are both going to give our advice. I'm sure it'll go
very nice.
Exactly.
In case you don't know us, we're very different people.
Yeah.
With very different
if you haven't
opinions.
Gathered from this last hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's get the fuck out of here. We have to record another one of these before Chet gets here.
Yay. Oh.
Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Oh, my God.